Chapter 2. Thanksgiving. I woke up early the next morning feeling very excited. When I was living in Florida as a child, Thanksgiving was one of my favorite holidays. It commemorates how the Native Americans, or Indians, helped the first English settlers in Massachusetts survive their first difficult year in the New World. They gave them food and showed them what vegetables to plant. The English settlers celebrated their first harvest by inviting the Indians to a big dinner to thank them for their help. American families still celebrate this holiday as a day to give thanks for all the good things they've got by getting together and having a big turkey dinner. Although turkey wasn't the main dish on that first Thanksgiving, it was one of the things that they ate. The turkey is a Native American bird, which quickly became the main dish for any special meal in the United States. New York adds a special touch to this holiday by having a big parade on Thanksgiving morning that is televised nationally. It is organized by a famous department store, Macy's, and is more than 3 hours long. Marching bands from high schools from all over the country play in it. There are also lots of clowns and famous people who ride in elaborate floats. However, the most impressive things in the parade are the enormous balloons that are part of it. They are usually balloons of famous cartoon characters and can be as big as 20 meters high. Jason had said the night before that we needed to find a space along the parade route by 7 a.m. The parade starts at 8 a.m. and thousands of people go to see it. At 6:45, we were finishing our coffee when Jason's buzzer rang. "Oh, I forgot to tell you last night," Jason said. "I invited a friend of mine to come with us to the parade. I hope you don't mind."
"Of course not," I said. "I'm looking forward to meeting your friends."
As we were walking down the stairs, he told me that his friend's name was Elaine. They both worked as waiters in the same restaurant. She was studying at New York University and was finishing her doctoral thesis on the history of New York City. "I'm sure that she'll be able to tell you lots of interesting things about the city," Jason said as we reached the ground floor. Jason opened the door and introduced me to his friend. I didn't expect her to be so pretty. She looked just like Nicole Kidman. "I've brought some hot chocolate in a thermos," she said. "It's quite cold and we'll be standing in the open air for more than 3 hours. I'm sure that we'll be happy to have it." She was right. It was very, very cold, but we had a great time and the hot chocolate helped a lot. We got a space on the corner of 49th Street and Broadway and waited for the parade to start. "Actually, the origins of this parade are European," Elaine explained.
"Really?"
I asked. "I thought it celebrated an American holiday."
"It does," she replied. "However, the people who worked at Macy's in the 1920s were almost all European immigrants. These immigrants wanted to celebrate this day like they celebrated local holidays in Europe. I guess that a lot of parades were organized there because in New York they marched down the streets dressed up as cowboys, knights, and sheiks. They even borrowed 25 animals from the Central Park Zoo. More than 250,000 people came out to see the parade. It was an instant success. The first big balloons appeared in 1927. The people who dress up as clowns and pull the balloons are still Macy's employees." Just then, I saw an enormous balloon appear in the distance. It was Snoopy. As it got closer, I saw that more than 30 people were holding its ropes and pulling it down Broadway. It was so big that it almost touched the buildings on either side of the street. For the next 2 hours, many other balloons, marching bands, floats and clowns marched past us. I felt like I was a little boy again, and I couldn't stop smiling. The last float of the parade carried Santa Claus.
"Wait a minute," I said. "Why is Santa Claus in the Thanksgiving parade? He isn't part of this holiday. He belongs to Christmas."
"In a way, he is part of Thanksgiving," answered Elaine. "His float marks the end of the parade and the beginning of the Christmas season here."
After Santa Claus had passed, Elaine turned to Jason. "I should go home and make the mashed potatoes for later on," she said. "Will Antonio be joining us for the orphans' dinner?" Jason nodded.
"Great," she continued. "Well then, I'll see both of you in a few hours."
She gave us a lovely smile and walked away. "I'm confused," I said to Jason.
Are we going to a dinner with orphans tonight? Aren't we supposed to be having a traditional Thanksgiving dinner? We're the orphans, Jason answered, laughing. People in the United States try to have Thanksgiving dinner with their families. However, this is a very big country, and sometimes people can't travel to be with their immediate families. Elaine and I have got a group of friends who, for various reasons, can't be with their families. That's why we call ourselves orphans. We'll all have Thanksgiving dinner together and make our own family. Each person is bringing a different part of the dinner. Elaine is bringing the mashed potatoes, and we're bringing the wine. I think that you'll enjoy yourself. It's going to be in a very special place. A little after 1 p.m., Jason and I were getting into one of New York's famous yellow cabs, just like the ones I had seen in the movies. I didn't pay attention to the address he gave the driver. I was too surprised by the turban that the cab driver was wearing. I asked Jason about it as we got out of the cab. "Haven't you ever seen a Sikh before?" he asked. "Only in London," I answered. "I'm sorry, I guess that I forgot that there are people from all over the world here, too." "That's okay," said Jason. "I forget that you've only been here for a day. To see so many different cultures mixed into one city must be new for you." As we walked down the street to the apartment where the dinner was being organised, Jason explained that we were in a neighbourhood called Soho. I remembered reading that it was an area with a lot of fancy stores and art galleries. The architecture of the buildings and the narrow streets reminded me of parts of London. These buildings were all small factories at the beginning of the 20th century, Jason explained. People started converting them into apartment buildings a few decades ago. They're called loft apartments and take up the whole floor. They're enormous and very expensive. Did you ever see a movie called Ghost? Yes, I did, I answered. Well, where Demi Moore lived was a typical loft apartment in this neighbourhood, said Jason. Have you got a rich friend who lives here? I asked. No, he replied. Actually, a friend of mine has got rich friends who live here. Jason explained that he had a Hawaiian friend called Peter, who was a ballet dancer. He was a friend of the married couple who owned the loft. They were marine biologists, and he was taking care of it while they were away in the South Pacific working with whales. It all sounded so exotic. Minutes later, we walked into the largest apartment I've ever been in. It was so big that one of the guests was riding a bicycle around it, although it was fully furnished. There was a grand piano in the middle of the room that looked small in so much space. Elaine walked up to us and gave us each a kiss on the cheek. If you don't mind, she said to Jason, I'm going to introduce this handsome Spaniard to the rest of the group. My face went red, and I hoped that she didn't notice. Then I was introduced to the most interesting group of people I've ever met in one place. As well as Peter, the Hawaiian ballet dancer, there was an opera singer, a composer, a few musicians, a few actors, a sculptor, a painter, a journalist, a chef, and a couple of lawyers. The places that they were from were as varied as their professions. There were people from California, New Orleans, Alabama, France, Japan, Russia, South Africa, and there was even someone from Seville. His name was José Luis, and he was a sports journalist for a Hispanic newspaper. I didn't know that there were newspapers written in Spanish here, I said. Sure, he replied. There's a very large Hispanic population in New York, with people from almost every part of Latin America. Many of them like to read the news in Spanish. Just then, Peter came out of the kitchen. The turkey's ready, he said. It's time to eat. We all sat at a long table and had a wonderful meal. The food was delicious and the conversation was stimulating. Everyone was from such interesting places and had such interesting jobs that there was always something to talk about. They were also very friendly and open. I felt completely at home with them. Although we finished having coffee and dessert around 5 p.m., no one left until 10 p.m. I looked at my watch and couldn't believe how much time had passed. It had been a wonderful evening, and I felt that I had made some new friends. Almost everyone gave me their phone number and told me to call them because they wanted to show me things that they liked in the city. I was very happy to hear that Elaine was going to share a cab with us, as she lived very near Jason. I suppose that you're planning on seeing all the typical tourist attractions while you're here, she said to me as we were going home in the cab. Yes, I am, I replied. Would you like some company? She asked. I've never been to the Empire State Building, the Statue of Liberty, or any of those places. I'm like most New Yorkers. We want to see these things, but constantly postpone going to them. As you're here, I'd like to show them to you, and to myself. That would be wonderful, I said. She promised to call me the next day to decide which place we would go to first. It was the perfect ending to a perfect day.